Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Change Your Mind podcast. I'm your host, Chris Ashley. And today we are going to delve into the science and personal development side. And I'm really excited. I have a pretty amazing guest with me. But really quick, before we jump into it, head over to the links in the show notes. You are going to find a link to my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. You'll find ways to sponsor the podcast. You'll find my courses, coaching, and you will find links for my lovely guest as well. And as always, this podcast is part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network. We are doing some really big things in personal development, so come check us out. What if the one thing keeping you stuck is the way you think? Welcome to Change Your Mind with Chris Ashley, the podcast where science meets spirituality and mindset becomes your most powerful tool for transformation. I'm Chris Ashley, author of Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality, trainer, speaker, and lifelong seeker. For years, I battled trauma, depression, anger, chronic illness, low self-worth, and the weight of old stories. Until I discovered how to rewire my mind, reconnect with my divine nature, and consciously create a new reality from the inside out. This show is here to help you do the same. Each week, we explore the intersection of personal development, spirituality, and science. Diving into topics like healing, emotional mastery, entrepreneurship, resilience, and the quantum nature of reality. You'll hear powerful stories, gain practical tools, and real conversations that will help you change your perspective, get unshakable confidence, and live the vision your soul has always known is possible. Whether you're navigating a major life shift, building your dream business, or seeking deep healing and alignment, you're in the right place. So if you're ready to break through, take back your power, and create a life on your terms, this is your moment. Let's break free from the patterns that hold us back, awaken to who we truly are, and rise. Your transformation starts now. All right. So with me today, I have Alexei Popov. So Alexei is the CEO and creator of Sirius Aviation, the world's first hydrogen-powered regional aircraft. The jet is a trailblazer in the aerospace sector and revolutionizing air travel. As the first hydrogen-powered aircraft, it is cost-effective in reshaping the future of aviation and clean air. Alexei himself is a distinguished aviation engineer and pilot, with an impressive background rooted in a family legacy of nearly 50 years in aviation engineering and design. Popov has become a highly accomplished leader in the aerospace and aviation industry. Super cool. Welcome, Alexei. I'm happy to have you here.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Chris. Yeah, I will. I would like to start with something interesting. Probably I might cover a story that when I crossed the Atlantic Ocean. The Atlantic, it was 5 years ago, and when I were from Oregon, Portland, Oregon, and I bought it in the United States and flew all the way back to Europe, to Berlin, to Switzerland, actually, where I live. So it was a nice story of 5 days. We catched even a hurricane.
Wait, you said it was an interesting 5 days. What took 5 days?
Because when you do the transatlantic flight on a small single engine piston aircraft, it's not a jet. The speed is significantly lower. And you cross the Atlantic Ocean in the narrowest points. So... so you fly basically to North Pole, then you cross Atlantic Ocean to Greenland, then to Faroe Islands, and then so you jump, you do jumps, like five and a half hour jumps.
That's and, wild. So what was the North Pole like?
Iqaluit, the capital of Eskimos. The Canadian state that is called Nunavut. Very nice. I've seen some Eskimos, pretty funny gentlemen, people with big round faces and with a lot of fat on it. And it's quite visible. And they are all tanned. So very nice experience. 5 days, yeah. Once we were trapped into a storm, so I had a co-pilot because it's dangerous to fly alone, and I think it's prohibited even. Yeah, so it's nice.
So was it scary when you were on the, like, above the actual ocean?
I wouldn't say so. It was more beautiful than scary. But, you know, when you have experience and so on, and you're prepared for any dangerous situation, so it makes you more comfortable, I would say. But for sure, this was the first experience, and yeah, maybe a little bit, but only the first day.
Have you ever found yourself in, like, a kind of precarious situation when you're flying, or, like, was that storm the worst?
Yeah, that was at night. We catch the storm at night, and the situation about the Atlantic Ocean in September is the beginning of hurricane season, right? So yeah, Americans perfectly know it. So it was the beginning of September, and the specificity of this season is that they appear out of the blue, so they are unpredictable. Ooh. And yeah, sometimes, especially there above the 64th parallel. So that was that night, night of 5th September, and we trapped into such kind of storm. And you never know where. So there is no forecast. So there is no connection. You cannot connect. It's too far away from the closest radio station. So. And you never know in which spot of the whirlpool you are in. So, and the winds are quite strong. So you might simply, if you had face headwind, so and it's quite strong, then you find yourself that you are just standing at one point in your small aircraft because it's full power, you know, full throttle is comparable and compensated by the strong headwind. So that might be the problem. And then you eventually run out of fuel and crash. That's it.
Yeah, so that's terrifying.
Yeah, that's a bit dangerous.
Yeah, I would say so.
And, yeah. And we exactly were in this kind of situation. But we had a side wind, strong side wind, so it was good.
I mean, could those kind of winds ever, like, flip a plane over or, like, blow you out of the air? Or
no? I would say no. I've never heard about that. But this type of whirlpools, from what I know about weather, because this is the main science for all pilots, they don't. But if you have different kind of, I forgot this cloud type, the storm, not the storm, but you know that heavy rain, how's it called?
Hurricane?
Like a hurricane, but not a whirlpool one. Yeah, so it's okay. Like, when we say it's raining like cats and dogs, this is the one. Yeah. And yeah, with blizzards and everything, so it has convection, it's so called. So this wings, the winds inside, they it's like they have severe speed up and down, and these flows are very, very close. So this might be the case if you cross it. So the pilots are prohibited to fly into such kind of type of clouds.
Crazy.
They are all, wow. They have all Latin names. That's why I simply don't remember this one.
It's yeah.
Carimbol or something. Don't want to.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's it. So, yes, they can flip, but I.
Yeah, go ahead.
Please, yeah, there was nothing where I went.
I was just going to say, do you get, like, nervous in those situations? Like, in the one
you always do, yeah. You always do, but actually, you only feel it once the situation just, you know, finished. Because you are too much concentrated on instruments and controlling the flight and so on. So you feel this, you know, adrenaline and everything, you know, all these consequences after, only after.
That makes sense. You get, like, laser focused kind of.
Absolutely, yeah. So I've been in this situation about an hour. Only then I felt that I'm pretty tired. But when once you are there, you know, it's like laser focus, as you say. Absolutely, yeah. It was,
I mean,
very interesting.
That's good
experience.
Because some people would, like, freeze, right, in a situation. It's good that you can, like, focus and get it done.
Listen, Listen, I have all kinds of ratings in my pilot license to be able to fly over the Atlantic, and I did specific training, so I was prepared, believe me.
What kind of training did you do?
Transatlantic flight, specific transatlantic flight. Like,
is that kind of training different than like if you were just flying over land?
I would say it's more like, you know, operation, like, you know, troops have brief and debrief. So it's more like 2 days brief before the operation. So we were like, I was briefed, I had several classes and then a couple of simulations on training in the training center. So that's it. So you see, the thing is that pilots are trained in such a way that to fly for them, so the most difficult part is training, because you are put in the most problematic situations. And when you do the tests, when you have examinations and everything, you face always the most critical situation. This is, so the exams are quite challenging and difficult. But in normal life, you might never find yourself in such kind of situation. So that's why flights are quite like basic flights for pilots that do it on a regular basis are quite nice and beautiful. And only in difficult situations when you get into it, so you know exactly what to do because you are trained. You know exactly what to do. So you know, step one, step two, step three. That's why, so you, a pilot, any pilot, in well-trained pilot, getting into a difficult situation, actually, he has already passed training over it. So we always know what to do, any pilot.
Well, that's reassuring. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So
it's not that, oh, let me read the book again, so I just forgot.
Yeah, like while I'm in the midair.
It's different. You know exactly what to do. You know exactly what to do.
Yeah, it's like become habit. That's so good.
Yeah.
That's important. So I want to back up. I want to hear a little bit about your journey. Like what inspired you to create the world's first hydrogen powered aircraft? Like what set you on that path?
That's a good question, because it just came into my mind. You know, when you grow, so I was born in a family of aircraft engineers and propulsion and aircraft engine designers, and I'm engine designer by education as well as my father and mother. And we've been into this business for several decades. And of course, you know, you grow, you understand something new, you learn, you do service maintenance for multiple aircraft. We have own factory, quite a big one, with we produce different parts, different mechanism aggregates for aircraft, a lot of subsystems and so on. And once upon a time, I was flying somewhere and just thinking what could be improved, what might be improved, because we always think what may be improved, what market needs, and then bang, just the idea came to my mind, because of the pollutions and a lot of things happening around with the planet, with, you know, this pollutions and everything. And I just realized that we can do hydrogen propulsion system, which is absolutely, which has no emissions. And I immediately understood that we can do it already. So I have enough knowledge, we have enough manufacturing capacities, expertise in the field, partners to make it real. And with, like, to make an aircraft means to make first the engine, something that will give power for the aircraft. So you start always with the propulsion system or engine, let's call it. And I understood that I can do it. Some things were uncertain to me, but within 6 months, we started already manufacturing. So
wow,
the first appeared
really
an engine, and then an aircraft design. We applied aircraft design across the propulsion system itself, engine.
And how long till you could actually fly that plane?
Well, up to 4 hours. The fuel tank.
No, I mean, how long did it take? You said 6 months to start working on it. Like, how long did it take till the plane was finished?
Well, we are in the middle. I would say so. In three and a next year, we'll present the aircraft flying in May, June. So I'm right now actually at manufacturing. In Vienna, we have one of our subcontractors. And we'll present it May, June next year. Hydrogen flight and demonstrate the full cycle of hydrogen flight. The first hydrogen aircraft, vertically takeoff and landing, with the future substitution of all helicopters. And within the next 3 years, it will be certified.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So how does a hydrogen engine work? Like, how does it differ than a normal engine that planes have?
The principle is the same. You have hydrogen fuel tank, then you transform in conventional aircraft. You've got fuel, which is kerosene, and you use fuel, transform it into energy. In air conventional aircraft, that's a combustion engine, a jet engine that burns the fuel and extracts energy. In hydrogen engine, that's called the conversion system. It's called fuel cell stack. Fuel cell stack. So fuel cells convert hydrogen into electricity and heat. We take off heat and take electricity and use it for different purposes. So electricity rotates electric motors, fans, and heat is used for different purposes, for various purposes. In winter, for example, heat is distributed along the wing to avoid icing. So it's a de-icing system at the same time. So very, very simple, actually.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, very simple to understand. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I followed that for sure. So how big is the plane that you're making right now? Is it going to be like a small two-person plane or a bigger?
We have several versions, but we focus to business jet market first because bigger margins are there and the demand is high. And we already accepted several pre-orders. So it will be starting two seats with a bigger space. And then we'll have three seats. And then we have several versions up to six seats. Passengers and coach, even a coach for as a flying taxi.
Very cool. And do you imagine a future where all airplanes are using this? Like, do you think the big commercial flights would ever pick this up?
No, we are not intersecting with commercial airlines because the technology does not allow right now to for bigger capacities. So our limit is six passengers.
Okay.
And the pilot. So we are not, our markets are not overlapping, but we do basic operations as a helicopter, being very silent, zero emission, and what else? And we have a parachute system. So it's called ballistic recovery system. So in any critical situation, automatic deployment of ballistic of a parachute, and everyone is safe. So, leading of risk of injury or an incident to virtual zero.
So, wait, where does the parachute? Is the parachute connected to the plane?
Yeah. It's in the back. It's in the back. Yeah.
It's above it, like, the, literally comes out from the plane.
Yeah.
And it's, wow.
It deploys like, yeah, there is it's not something super innovative, actually. Already two or three models, manufacturers of aircraft, American ones, have this type of system, recovery system. So there is no specific use in it. It's used widely.
I was gonna say, what situation would you need to deploy that in?
Critical failure, I would say. It's it deploys in critical failure or by manual or manually in case of something might happen. So not with aircraft, probably something may happen on board with the passengers. I don't know.
It helps you land safely.
Yep. Yeah, you stop flying horizontally. You deploy the parachute, the aircraft stops and it just falls down, goes down.
That's wild. That's blowing my mind. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. Several, for example, Cirrus Aircraft Corporation, they have parachute systems as well at their aircraft.
Very cool.
All types. Yeah, so.
So, you know, we focus a lot on personal development on this podcast. And I love that you had an idea and you're like, well, this solves a problem. We have the partners, we have the innovation to make it happen. And you just like made it happen in 6 months. So, you know, I'd love for you to just talk a little bit about, you know, where does that like, I guess for people who have an idea, but they don't know where to go, like, how do you get that drive? How do you get that, persistence to make it happen? You know, there's so many people that have ideas and then they never come to fruition and they don't make it happen.
You see, that's a good question, but I don't know how to reply. You know, everyone has his own passion, right? So it's the matter of perseverance, how Mr. the inventor of Apple, Steve Jobs, was saying, I firmly believe that success and is entirely on a person's perseverance, right? So I don't know, I can reply only for myself. So I find it interesting. I like design. I like aircraft. I like flying. I'm a pilot, so it's quite logical for me to, if I start something, to bring it to the logical end, having something, you know, reaching the final. So it's a long distance projection. But you know, if to talk about motivation, of course, I'm not on aircraft design and manufacturing the entire 24 hours. So of course, I have side business in terms of a hobby, a girlfriend, friends, and you know, some different interests, because you will simply go mad doing one thing 24/7. Yeah, but you know, the motivation is there. I don't know, I was born like that, an aviator. This is my passion. I don't know how to explain.
It's just in your blood.
it's just in my veins, yeah. It's just something that I like to do in life, and I can do it, and I see the road, you know. I can predict things. I was trained all my life since I was very young, and you know, my parents have always been in aircraft manufacturing service and design, so I consume all of that. I've consumed all of that. As a personality,
Yeah, no, I love it. So when you say you can predict things, are you eating your cake? Did you?
No, I'm drinking my tea.
Okay. Alexi's here having tea and cake at midnight in Vienna. I appreciate you coming on this late. So when you say you can predict things, like, do you mean like obstacles that come on the path? You can kind of foresee them and figure out, like, is that fun for you to like problem solve around things like that?
Let me explain you what I mean. There is a very well promoted company, Lilium. Usually I don't mention competitors or companies that in the same field, but this is a good example of to better explain your question and my vision over it. So for example, you work in specific domain your entire life. You are a painter, let's say. And someone shows you a painting, or you're a woman, right? So women love clothes. When you touch it, when you see it, sometimes you can see from very far distance that was of a very bad quality or very good quality. And for example, men don't have this ability, right? Because we are not on cloth every day. For example, I'm just giving a stupid example, probably, but you will understand. And Yeah, it's the same thing works for anyone who is doing consistently same things, you know, every day all his life. So, and I can predict, I can see things. Or for example, a startup emerges, someone in aviation in my field is someone is new, and say he's designing an aircraft. So I predicted the collapse of Lilium, for example, recently. This company unfortunately collapsed. Young and brave startuppers, visionaries, right? And young men, but unfortunately inexperienced, and it doesn't work in our specific business, in aircraft business. Yeah, you have to be at least 10-15 years in aviation as to be able to understand it a little bit, not to say entirely, so to understand what you're doing. And a young team of passionate people came into our business, and I tried to talk to them, saying, giving them explanation how it worked, but they never listened. And so I'm trying to say that I saw their end with a specific time frame, 3 years, and it happened exactly, like in 3 years, like day to day, even like months to months. And there are big players, companies that witnessed actually our negotiations, and they know. And these predictions, and I have someone what I'm trying to say that I have witness of what I'm saying. So you can predict things, you can understand how it works, and the business is very difficult, and the technologies are very difficult, especially if you don't have something that you can get from the market, go out and buy. You have to invent it to make it work. And if you promise something, give promises, or give like, I will do this aircraft, okay, congratulations, but you have to understand when you say that you will have to face, to overcome this and this obstacle. And in our business, for no money in the world, trillions of dollars, if you don't understand how to do the vertical takeoff and landing, and there no one has ever done it on batteries, for example, right, with a specific design of an aircraft, you understand quite easily that, listen, this is simply impossible because you know a lot of things and it's very difficult for someone to explain. So 3 years ago, I warned Lilium, who was the CEO, the founder, that, listen, you are about to collapse. You don't understand what you're doing.
So you warned him. Okay.
I warned him, yeah. So because you are getting in more and more trouble. So you have to redesign the aircraft, do this, and avoid mistakes in the beginning, because later on, and during specific phase of certification after application of to airworthiness FAA, it will be impossible to come back. You will have to redesign, you will not have money, and investors will never believe you, no one will give you money, and so it's a closed loop and you will simply collapse. And yeah, but you know, young people, they are always self-assured in a lot of things, especially you know, having hype of doing when they did IPO and became one of a sudden showing just pictures, PowerPoint pictures, so we are billionaires or millionaires or this and that. So, but this is market, you know, today market is on this size, you know, waves are this size, but then it can hit you from your back. And unfortunately, yeah, this happened. So what I'm saying, predictions, when you are experienced in something, you see things before they actually appear in front of everyone else's eyes.
Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense, especially if they're promising something that's never been done before, right? Like the vertical takeoff that you're talking about.
We always, you know, smile. We don't say it loud, but
what was that?
Yeah. You simply smile, right? When you hear something stupid from person that doesn't understand this business, he came to you and saying that I will do this and that. What can you say? You just smile inside, but sometimes you don't even.
I appreciate that even though they were a competitor, you tried to give them a heads up and help them out.
Yeah,
and
yeah. You see,
very compassionately.
Chris, in our domain, it's not common to be in a competition, in a state of competition, because engineers, aviation engineers, they are never, in our culture, competition doesn't exist. It's opposite. We'd rather help each other. We don't accept each other as competitors. It's like something that is not common. So we help each other. We give free advice. We help with technologies. We do support. And whenever. So it's like kind of culture. It's like my personal obligation was to come to see him, warn him, try to help, and someone else. Or I'm not saying specifically about one company. I'm doing it on everyday basis, almost in different parts of the world. So this is my. I saw that he needs help. I offered help. He avoided it. Said no, I don't want. Okay, but I couldn't avoid doing it.
I wish. Everything was like that. I wish all genres, industry were like that, where it's more about collaboration and trying to help.
Because not in the United States. In Europe, people are different.
Yeah. Europe's looking good these days. Yeah, no, it's too bad. I'm hoping there's going to be a shift, you know.
Absolutely. With Mr. Trump, now we will have big shift altogether on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it affects it. It's interesting, like when our president affects like everyone, right? Like it.
Absolutely.
It affects the 100%,
except Zulu people, because they don't even know about. Yeah, the Zulu people.
Like a tribe? Is that a tribe?
Yeah, you know, these far distant islands in the middle of nowhere, when you have, you know, the closest neighbors around 8,000, you know, miles.
Yeah, they don't care about Donald Trump.
Yeah. they don't like, know whatever. Other people exist, you know. This is what they don't know.
That's so crazy. Isn't that crazy that there are people on this planet who don't know other people exist, or who just are so isolated and we can't go talk to them? That's so crazy thinking about.
Yes, but it's still there. It's here in our planet. You can even try to visit this place.
Yeah,
there's an island where
there's some that you're like not allowed to go to also.
Yeah
because, or like they've killed people that have gone there because they don't know what they are and they're just protecting themselves, right? Yeah,
with arrows. Yeah, with arrows and bows.
Yeah. That's wild. It's so wild.
I'm jealous a little bit of them, honestly.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, no, I do feel like people want to collaborate. Like, that's human nature, right? Like, this competitiveness, like, it doesn't feel natural, right? I don't know.
Absolutely.
Like, humans are supposed to be like a tribe, right? Like, we're supposed to work together to survive, right? Like, that's, yeah. I don't know.
Who said that the power is in unity, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's
so
true.
Absolutely. You see, the world, the present world, is constructed in such a way that there are several political systems that are in opposition to each other. We had previously Cold War, which was the counter... offensive of two different social systems, right?
Yeah, I lost you for a second there.
Yeah. Here, yeah. So I'm saying that there are different types of social systems that are in competition, like capitalism, then socialism, communism, for example. So the humanity is constantly, like everything else is transforming. But yeah, I completely agree with you. Here in Europe, people are very different. And the culture, I mean, people are same, but the culture is different.
Yeah.
I'm not saying worse or better or no, it's different. It's warmer. People don't care here so much about money.
I mean, I think it's better.
In comparison, like in the United States.
Yeah. No, it's...
But, you know, I love the United States.
No, I mean, like you said, there's pros and cons of everything, right? It's good, it's bad. I mean, absolutely, my husband and I have that conversation too, like, because I could get, Italy opened it up where you can get citizenship if, like, your grandfather or your grandparents were born there, and one of my grandfathers was born there. So I'm thinking about going through that. We're like, oh, we can move to Italy. But he's like, you know, it's hard to be successful in Europe, right? Because they then your taxes are super high, right? So you can be more successful in the United States in that respect. But then it feels like the quality of life is better in Europe because they, I don't know, like, you go for like 3-hour dinners in France or Italy, and like people take more Italy. Vacation and they take care of people more, you know?
Yeah. I live in Switzerland, for example. So yeah, in Switzerland, everything is focused and dedicated to people's wealth. So you would like to have education additional. Yeah. I'm sorry, Chris. I think we have a connection problem again.
No, yep, we do. Yep, now you're back. Yeah, okay, I heard Switzerland, they're focused on the people's wealth.
For example, yeah, Switzerland is the country that is completely focused on people's wealth. Like you can allow yourself everything. Like, you want education, please. Loans, credits, whatever, like 0%. The minimum wage, minimum wage is 4.5 Swiss francs, which is around $5,000, and this is like 6 hours per week only. You work 6 hours per week, and no one will pay you less than this amount. It's prohibited by law.
Wow. So how is like the healthcare? Is it all like paid for? Like healthcare and childcare and all of that, or do you have the similar?
I can say only about Switzerland because I'm resident of Switzerland. It works like it's brilliant. It's simply amazing.
Okay,
it's just amazing. Yeah, like, I don't know. It can be compared only to top level hospitals. Hotels.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah, and yeah, very professional, very accurate, and high level, free. Like, you pay just your insurance, which costs 400 Swiss francs per month, and it covers everything.
That's amazing, and you don't have to wait like hours for
No. It's very top level. I don't know if even a close comparison. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like Switzerland's the way to go.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yes.
How is it? Does it support like new mothers well? Because that's been like, we have a 9 and 10 month old baby this week, and it's just, it's crazy. Like,
Chris, I think we have again connection problems. Probably you could. Is there something that might be from your side? No. Because it's definitely not with me. Definitely not my. Let me reconnect to Wi-Fi.
Let's keep trying to go. Like I said, it's gonna download perfectly. Okay. So as long as we can get the gist of what we're saying, I think it'll be okay. But so I wanna just bring it back to you. You know, just thinking about this personal development theme. How have you handled failures in your life? Because you're obviously very successful. You've got a lot of confidence. You've got a lot of drive, and I'm sure you've found bumps along the way. So, what's your perspective on dealing with failure?
Oh, it's difficult. It's always difficult. I believe that I began to take it more easy, but every failure is something that literally killing me. So I try to learn, and try to avoid that for sure. But from time to time, I don't know, I take it with an ease from time to time. No, it depends on the mood. I don't know. I don't have critical failures, so there is nothing that I can mention specific that, yes, this was a big failure and that was a big problem for for my mental state. But it's always painful for everyone, I believe. How do I deal with it? I don't know. You switch attention, you're trying to find the success. Stop thinking, you know, there are some advanced ways of eliminating the stress, and sooner or later you learn. And it doesn't work for everyone, you know, it's your personal. So you have to create your own system, how to avoid such things or try to overcome them in a more fast way.
Yeah, I didn't catch all of that, but I'm it's going to be on the recording. So I guess I appreciate your honesty there. I guess, do you have any advice for people listening who maybe have this idea they want to pursue and they're scared of getting started, or they have fear of failure? Like, do you have any words of wisdom for people in that situation?
I believe yes. Once you ask, I would mention three things. First of all, fear is something that doesn't exist. So it's everything starts from our heads. So we create fears, we create ideas, we create everything, but it's always inside of the head. So, and what you see is just a projection. This is first. Second, the only way to success is perseverance. And no matter what you do, how you do, so you have to be consistent, diligent, and follow your goals and dreams. And the third, I think there is nothing for, like, you can achieve anything in life. So it's the matter of setting the exact goals and knowing what you would like to have at the end. And there, 100% you will achieve it. Not even 99%, no, 100%. And whenever the goal is set and it's defined, this is 90% of success. All the rest is hard work, belief, and diligent work. That's it. So wake up, do routine. So life is a routine. If you learn how to do routine, you will be successful in everything.
This I love it. Advice. I love it. Thank you so much. That was so wonderfully said. And I think a lot of people are going to get a lot out of that. So thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to share? Like if you have a website or anything like that, that you want to put out there into the world?
Yes, please visit our website, follow our news. We'll present our aircraft. So I believe even if you don't follow us, the news will find you whenever you are in that exactly cheer where you're all sitting. And it's SiriusJet.com. We presented design. So if you have questions, you can always ask there, write us a mail. I don't promise, but I will try to reply in person.
You're amazing. Thank you so much, Alexei. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you staying up till midnight and having some chocolate cake with me and hanging out. And if you are listening, please like, comment, share, subscribe, send this to someone you think it would be helpful to, and have a great rest of your day, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.